Well, Michael, spring has officially sprung. We've survived the winter.
And I guess the crypto winter as well.
Yeah, you know, spring is back. Bitcoin's back. Although, you know, of course, experiencing a little bit of a correction. That's going to happen. I'm just going to ignore all the crypto updates for the next, I don't know, the next year anyway. But I'm just glad a new season is upon us.
Yeah, and it's very spring-like where you're at. Yeah, Mike?
Well, you know, here in Cleveland, Ohio, you never know what you're going to get. We've had 70-degree days in the past week. We've had enough snow where I've had to shovel in the past week. So it's pretty much exactly like what you can expect Cleveland to be this time of year. You never know what you're going to get. Not unlike the world in tech. You just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, tech is always a bit unpredictable, isn't it?
It definitely can be. Some of the stories can be wild. And in fact, we're going to talk through a few wild stories today here on this episode of Rocket Ship. But first, let's roll this intro.
Welcome to RocketShip.fm.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca.
And I'm Mike Belsito.
Before we get into today's episode, though, let's pause to hear from our sponsors.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by Porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's Porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Okay, the wild world of product and tech. What are we going to get into today?
Well, I thought it'd be worth diving into the biggest social app in tech today, TikTok, because it might not be around here in the U.S. much longer. The talks to ban TikTok, they've been heating up here.
Yeah, they have been. It's true. And it's kind of unprecedented here in the U.S. There's always legal entanglements with social apps for various reasons, but we haven't seen an ultra popular one actually go forward and get banned.
Right. No, we've seen the threats before, but it's never actually happened. Will it this time? Well, we're going to get into that. But first, I thought it'd be good to look at some other news happening in the world of tech that may be relevant for product people and entrepreneurs to keep track of.
Okay. So good call. What do we have?
Well, okay, this is actually from a few weeks back, but we're learning a little bit more about the AT&T outage that affected 1.5 million people who are unable to access any kind of phone service from the nation's largest carrier.
Good evening, I'm Clarice Tinsley. Dallas-based AT&T says its cell service has been restored and says a software update caused the nationwide disruption. Many AT&T customers spent the morning unable to use their phones if they weren't connected to Wi-Fi. The outage also affected businesses and even first responders who rely on a key network tied to AT&T. Fox 4's Blake Hansen in Dallas with the latest. Blake.
Yeah, Clarice, the company said its initial review found that something went wrong as it was trying to expand its network. It says this was not a cyber attack, but it did shine a light on just how many things are affected when the service goes down. Many AT&T cell users nationwide woke Thursday to a glimpse of what it's like to live without some of what makes a phone a phone.
I woke up this morning and my cell phone said that it just had an SOS on there.
I had to actually pull over and connect to Wi-Fi at Starbucks to text her to let her know, hey, I'm on my way.
Dallas-based AT&T says it was a widespread outage that affected many of its customers. Many were able to use the phone on Wi-Fi, but lost the ability to call or use data when out and about.
So basically everything was down for over a million AT&T customers, and it did all get restored before a full day. I think it was about 10 hours that everybody experienced the issue, but yeah, it gave everyone a taste of life in the pre-cell phone era, if you will.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught it, but the culprit of the massive outage was a software glitch.
A little software bug, as simple as that.
Yeah, and eventually they fixed the glitch and service was restored. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of wild to think that this nationwide outage affecting so many, causing widespread issues that affected businesses, 911 operations, as they were getting flooded by phone calls of people just checking to see if 911 call would go through. All of that could be caused by just a little software bug.
It's definitely a lesson that sometimes the mantra of moving fast and breaking things, maybe it's okay for a new startup, but when it comes to a service that's relied upon for essential life activities like a cell phone, there should be many checks and balances along the way when you're doing software updates.
Yeah, and we may not ever know exactly how a glitch like this is even possible and how to escape those checks and balances, but as you're pushing through software through your applications out there, remember the AT&T bug of 2024. Don't let this happen to you.
All right. What else do we have going on today?
Well, okay. How about by the time we air this episode, there will have been a brand new tech IPO to hit the market. And it's actually one of the first big heralded tech IPOs that we've seen in quite some time. Reddit is about to become a public company. Greg Martin of Rainmaker Securities joined Yahoo Finance to talk about the public listing.
Good to see you again. You know, this is an interesting one because, you know, we're getting restarted again, you know, especially in the tech sector. And I think a lot of people are, you know, heavily anticipating this one. You know, Reddit's going out with, I think, a pretty aggressive valuation. If you look at the comp set, you know, and their revenues last year were somewhere in the neighborhood of $800 million, and you know, their comp set trades in the kind of the 5 to 7x range, and the company didn't really grow that much last year. So, you know, I would have expected them to be filing in, or more in the 4 to 6 range, and they're above that. And so, you know, they're clearly trying to sell, you know, an AI story. You know, they talk a lot about, you know, selling their data to large language models. They refer to a recent deal that they did with Google. So they're trying to differentiate themselves from who I think their comp set would be more like Pinterest and Snap, who I said, you know, trade more in the 5 to 7x revenue range. So I think they're trying to tell more of an AI story than just a media story. But the challenge they have is that 98% of their revenues are advertising.
Selling an AI story, man. Everyone's selling an AI story these days, aren't they?
That is the truth. I always joke that these days every company is a tech company, but It's starting to become that every company is an AI company. Anyway, as we're recording this, we don't yet know how the market will respond to how Reddit has priced its IPO, but by the time that everyone's listening to this, we will. So listeners, if you want to see yourself how things are performing, just pull up the Reddit stock ticker, RDDT, and you can see how it's doing. You're going to know before I know. It hasn't even hit the market yet, but by the time you listen to this, it will have.
I'm interested to see myself. I mean, you may have heard in that news segment, but Reddit does have a massive reach, but it hasn't really grown its user base lately. There's a reported increase in daily users, but the monthly active users, they've remained fairly stagnant at 500 million for nearly 3 years. Usually, people want to see intense growth, not stagnation.
That's right, but it won't just be investors of the stock that will be closely watching the IPO. A lot of companies that were readying for an IPO a couple years back that put it off because of market conditions, and they'll definitely be eyeing this one because if things go well, maybe those other tech companies waiting in the wings will get going again and follow suit.
And if it doesn't, they may continue to play the waiting game until investor sentiment seems to be better. So yes, there's a lot riding on this IPO, just not for Reddit, but for the broader tech landscape as well.
Okay, well, we've got our big story, the story of TikTok and its potential ban here in the United States coming right up. But first, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. The rise and maybe now the fall of TikTok here in the United States.
Well, maybe. Where do we even start?
Well, let's first hear what happened earlier this month when a key piece of legislation was passed. Here's a CBS News Sacramento segment, which outlines it a bit.
Today, the U.S. House of Representatives passed key legislation that could lead to a nationwide ban on one of the world's most popular social media apps. You know what we're talking about, right? So what does that mean for TikTok users? And what happens next? Here's the answer.
The clock may soon be running out on TikTok. In a rare show of bipartisanship, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill Wednesday that would prohibit TikTok from U.S. app stores unless the platform is divested from its China-linked parent company, ByteDance, within the next 5 months. Legislators and intelligence officials warn the app leaves American users vulnerable to the Chinese government, saying they have access to Americans' private data. If the ban is signed into law, app stores that violate the legislation could be fined based on the number of users of a banned app. The bill establishes fines of $5,000 per user of a banned app. Now, right now, it's unclear if ByteDance would agree to sell or spin off TikTok. If it did, the company could struggle to find an American buyer willing to shell out big bucks despite the app's popularity. Many of the roughly 170 million American TikTok users are raising concerns of their own, protesting outside the White House, urging the president not to sign a bill banning the social media platform. If you're one of those many users, don't worry. TikTok will not be disappearing from Americans' phones anytime soon. Now that the bill has passed the House, it moves on to the Senate, where it faces a more uncertain outcome. And that's the answer.
Okay, so those are the basics. A bill was passed to ban TikTok because of the potential of data vulnerabilities and access to that data by the Chinese government as well. And now TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, will have to sell it off or pay massive fines. And I feel like this is Groundhog's Day, though, because this already happened, right? Like, I feel like I remember Donald Trump grandstanding about banning TikTok. Am I going crazy?
No, you're not crazy. Talk of TikTok being a data hose into the Chinese government, it's been going on for years. And yeah, when he was president, Donald Trump threatened to shut down TikTok.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options, but a lot of things are happening. So we'll see what happens. But we are looking at a lot of alternatives with respect to TikTok.
That was back in mid-2020 when the talks started emerging over the potential ban of TikTok. On August 6th, Trump signed an executive order that argued that TikTok and another app, WeChat, collected data from American users that could be used by the Chinese government. The hope was that TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, would divest control of a portion of TikTok to a U.S. company so that concerns of where Americans' data would be going would be eased.
Yeah, and there were talks of Microsoft and then Oracle potentially acquiring a piece of TikTok by fall 2020. Then those talks fell through. And of course, Donald Trump, he lost re-election to now President Joe Biden. And Biden essentially dropped the executive order that Trump instituted. And instead, President Biden ordered the Secretary of Commerce to investigate the app to determine if it actually posed a threat to U.S. national security.
After that, things seemed to sort of quiet down a bit, at least for a while. But in June of 2022, reports started to emerge that ByteDance employees in China could access U.S. data and reportedly access the private information of TikTok users. One director even claimed a Beijing-based engineer referred to as Master Admin has access to everything.
Yet following those reports, TikTok announced that 100% of its U.S. user traffic would now be routed to Oracle Cloud, along with their intention to delete all U.S. user data from their own data centers. This arrangement, it stemmed from those talks with Oracle that were instigated in September 2020 to, you know, potentially acquire TikTok. It was thought that having data routed to Oracle's platform would at least ease the fears that data of U.S. users was being collected and used by the Chinese government.
But even that arrangement is a bit in limbo, and there have been disagreements between ByteDance and Oracle about how the data would be handled.
And so here we are today, in largely the same place that we were about 4 years ago.
And just like 4 years ago, just as there is real concern about where our data is going and how it's accessed by a foreign government, there are also concerns about what it means to block an app like TikTok. And the impediment on free speech that comes along with a potential ban like that, those concerns are shared by some TikTok users, Americans, and even politicians.
Even still, the bill, which was authored by Wisconsin Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher, it did pass the House. Here's Congressman Gallagher with a statement that he made during a congressional hearing.
TikTok is a threat to our national security because it is owned by ByteDance, which does the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party. We know this because ByteDance leadership says so and because Chinese law requires it. This bill therefore forces TikTok to break up with the Chinese Communist Party. It does not apply to American companies. It only applies to companies subject to the control of foreign adversaries defined by Congress. It says nothing about election interference and cannot be turned against any American social media platform. It does not impact websites in general. The only impacted sites are those associated with foreign adversary apps, such as TikTok.com. It can never be used to penalize individuals. The text explicitly prohibits that, and it cannot be used to censor speech. It takes no position at all on the content of speech, only foreign adversary control, foreign adversary control of what is becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. This is a common sense measure to protect our national security. I urge my colleagues to support this critical bipartisan legislation.
So this bill did pass, and now what?
Well, let's cut to the BBC News's Aaron Delmore for more on what's next.
The House vote sets the stage for what could become an ultimatum to TikTok's Chinese-owned parent company, ByteDance. Sell off the app, or it will be banned. Now, there's a ways to go between here and there. The bill needs to go through the Senate, where it faces an uncertain future. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has been noncommittal about whether he'll bring it up for a vote. And some senators have already vowed to vote against it. If it does move through the Senate, President Biden has said he'll sign it.
So even if it gets to a Senate vote, the Senate would vote on the bill. And if it passes, President Biden would sign it into law. But it has to pass the Senate first. And before that, it has to actually come to a vote. So there's a lot that needs to happen before any sort of action on TikTok will actually take place.
But if it does go through those processes, what does it all mean? And who benefits? That and more after a quick break. Before the break, we learned about TikTok and the data and security concerns that have caused it to potentially be banned in the United States.
Of course, this is nothing new. The scenario played out very similarly 4 years ago when it was President Trump at the time who threatened to ban TikTok.
Actually, what does Trump have to say about all this now? I mean, you would think that he may feel a bit vindicated, knowing that he was the one calling for the ban. And now, even President Biden is saying that if it passes through the Senate, he would sign the bill. Of course, Trump and Biden are getting ready for another showdown in November, the second one in 4 years. So there's that, too.
Oh, well, that's actually kind of funny you bring it up. Recently, Trump actually sat down for an interview with CNBC, and his tune kind of changed on TikTok.
I could have banned TikTok. I had it banned just about. I could have gotten it done. But I said, you know what? But I'll leave it up to you. I didn't push them too hard because, you know, let them do their own research and development. And they decided not to do it. But as you know, I was at the point where I could have gotten it done if I wanted to. I sort of said, you guys decide. You make that decision because it's a tough decision to make. Frankly, there are a lot of people on TikTok that love it. There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. There are a lot of users. There's, you know, a lot of good and there's a lot of bad with TikTok. But the thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger. And I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media.
Right. So now, according to Trump, TikTok isn't the enemy. Facebook is the enemy.
It's all kind of confusing, but I don't know. That's the way politics goes these days.
Yeah, it's just exhausting. But I guess it does bring up the question of who benefits if TikTok is actually shut down. Trump mentions Facebook and with its Instagram business, especially, you know, he might be right about that part. But are there others? Well, Yahoo Finance asked Brent Hill, a senior analyst at Jefferies, that very question. And here's what he had to say.
Certainly, if it was shut down, the place you're going to go is probably on YouTube and the advertisers would flip over. So Google could be a beneficiary. Obviously, Meta and Pinterest also could see more time spent on the platform if that happened. So yeah, certainly there's going to be beneficiaries under the scenario that it does get banned from that side. I mean, certainly Snap could see this as well. If you look at most of the younger audiences, obviously they go back and forth between Snap on the map and then some of the videos on TikTok. So those are all, you know, potential beneficiaries. Again, at the low end, it's probably more of a Snap, and at the higher end, it'd probably be more a Google beneficiary.
So Google and YouTube, maybe Meta with Facebook and Instagram, even Snap, all platforms that have the potential to benefit from a TikTok ban, which, you know, makes sense.
And there's a fair question of, if that's the case, are these companies protecting our data any better? None have such direct ties to the Chinese government, of course, but let's be real. There are data concerns with all social companies. Any app that you don't pay for, chances are you and your data are the real product, and that data is going to get sold.
Yeah, there are other concerns about what happens if a TikTok ban goes through too. Might there be any retaliation expected from the Chinese government? Who would take an action like this to be inflammatory?
China Beigebook International Managing Director Shahad Quasi weighed in on this on a recent Yahoo Finance segment. Let's cut to that.
The idea is that in Beijing now, you have what I like to call a minus America policy, which is where, you know, when it comes to things like supply chains, et cetera, we talk about having a China plus one strategy. China shouldn't be the only provider. But when it comes to the Chinese government, especially in the area of technology, whether it's hardware, software, programs, so forth, but beyond technology too. They want American businesses and American providers completely extricated. And of course, in China, we have a very broad, developing definition of what could potentially construe a national security threat. It's very unclear, which means that a bunch of targets are open for retaliation. Of course, the social media companies don't exist out there, American ones, essentially, so they're out. But, you know, it's very likely that they go after some kind of high-profile target, nevertheless, in maybe a different industry, maybe a different space, and not necessarily a direct equivalent, such as in the tech space, as they've done in the past when they went after Bain, et cetera. So I think some kind of high-profile target or retaliation is absolutely going to be in the cards to the extent that this becomes all successful and we're able to take on ByteDance and perhaps if TikTok is banned.
So we could see some retaliation from the Chinese government aimed at American companies. Maybe that's Kwasi's take on it anyway.
For now, TikTok will keep pressing on. Its CEO, Shou Chu, posted this hours after that congressional vote.
Show here. Just wanted to share some thoughts with our U.S. users about the disappointing vote in the House of Representatives. There has been a lot of misinformation, and I hope to clarify some things. First, thank you to our incredible community. You are what makes TikTok so special. Thank you for making your voices heard. Over the last few years, we have invested to keep your data safe and our platform free from outside manipulation. We have committed that we will continue to do so. This legislation, if signed into law, will lead to a ban of TikTok in the United States. Even the bill sponsors admit that that's their goal. This bill gives more power to a handful of other social media companies. It will also take billions of dollars out of the pockets of creators and small businesses. It will put more than 300,000 American jobs at risk, and it will take away your TikTok.
So the fight goes on. United States versus TikTok. There's still a lot left in this one. So it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, I'm guessing we're going to have a follow-up episode before too long. Maybe it'll be, I don't know, another 4 years before this all happens again, or could be much sooner than that, depending on how the Senate votes. I guess we'll have to see.
That's going to wrap things up for now. From Mike Belsito, I'm Michael Sacca, and this is Rocketship.fm.